Mary, you said earlier that you met your husband at a dance in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Will you tell me about that?
Oh, well, let's see, it was our custom to go, I used to go with this girlfriend of mine, and her mother was real school. She was very strict with her. Here she was, I think at the time, she was 26 years old, and she wouldn't let her go unless her son would take her, she just got stubborn, and she said, you can't go. So she called me up and told me, it was Sunday afternoon, and she says, my mother got in her mind that I can't go today, you know. So I came back, and my brother said, what's the matter? And I said, I can't go to the dance because my girlfriend can't go, and I don't like to go walking by myself. And he was in the Navy. He's in a sailor outfit. And he says, no, I'll take you, you know, and my friend and I will take you. So it was a Sunday afternoon, and so he took me. And when we got there, I met up with some more girls from work, from Douglas, and I went with them. And I sat down with her, and then another fellow from work too, I told you, and he just sat there like a lump. And she and I just kind of look at each other and says, wouldn't you like to go to the powder room? And she says, yes, you know. And so we got up, and she was very pretty. Right away somebody asked her to dance, and so I was about halfway over, and somebody taps me on my shoulder, and in fact I was going to go after that, and I looked around to say no, but my husband was already in the middle of the floor waiting for me. You know, I couldn't yell now. Oh. So I said, oh, well, I'll go. And we started dancing, and before I knew it, from then on, we were always together, you know. He took me home because my brother said he didn't like the place he was going to show, so he brought me home in the streetcar. In those days, you know, streetcar. And I thought to myself, when he finds out how far I live, that's going to be the last I'll ever see him. Because after we got off the streetcar, we had to walk about a mile. And he was a real gentleman. He got a cab when we got off, and he took me home. So then he says, I'm going to call you next week. And we didn't have a phone. So we had a neighbor, we had to cross a lot, you know, run over there, and she'd call us. And I thought to myself, I won't hear from him again. And no, that next Saturday, he has a phone call for me. And he wanted me to meet him downtown. So I used to take the 5 streetcar, and we'd meet at 8 o'clock in front of Desmond's. You know where Desmond? Do you remember downtown Desmond's? And that's what was our meeting place from then on for about almost 2 years and 9 months. But after that, he got a car, you know. I mean, about a year or so later.
When was it that you met him? What year was it?
I was about 22 years old at the time. And I think he was 28.
Tell me about him.
Well, he was born in Santa Barbara, and his dad always managed dairies, and there was four sons and one daughter, and his dad was a roaming type, you know. He came back to L.A., and they lived up here in Artesia, the town of Artesia, and he had a dairy there. And you know where Robinson's is now, on Cerritos?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where that house, I don't know if you ever saw that house. It was a really nice home. It was about a two-story house with like a veranda on top, and it had a private road going to it. And that was their house while they were managing that dairy there. And then the owner had offered to sell it to him, to his dad, but his dad never was a type to settle down. And they lived in Santa Fe over here by Long Beach. And then they ended up moving because his dad had brothers in that lived downtown, and so his dad moved downtown, and then from then on he worked delivering laundry for the hotels and linens and, you know, all that.
What was your husband doing when you met him?
He had just gotten a job at American Can, and he just out of the service, and I think he got out, he said, in January, and I met him around March. So we just started going from then on. And it was real nice because, yeah, and he's still that way. He's the type that treats you too. He used to treat me out for the other boyfriends. I went, we used to just go to coffee shops, but he used to take me to nice restaurants and nice dances and the shows. And sometimes he'd all three in one day, you know. So I really thought he was, you know, And to this day, he's like that. He likes nice things and likes to go nice places. So this was about 2 years or 9 months we got married.
How did your family like him?
Oh, my dad loved him. Yes, he didn't get to meet him right away, but one time he was bringing me home, and my dad happened to be outside, and he went over there and put his arm around him and told him, "Charlie, come on in the house," you know. And he liked him. He liked him right away. My brother liked him, and always did like him, you know. And he wasn't that way with the others. He, you know, he's always chasing them off. But he liked me. I guess he could tell by looking at him. And had no problem. I didn't get to meet his family till almost before we got married. And my husband's kind of the loner type. He doesn't tell anybody his business or, you know. So he didn't tell his mom till almost, you know, just before we got married. In fact, a funny thing happened was in Spanish, the word cazar can have two meanings, to hunt or to get married. I don't know whether he knows a little bit of Spanish. And so he told his mom the night before, he says, "Tomorrow, be sure that I get up at 6 o'clock, because I'm going to," he said, "I'm going to get married." And she thought he said, "I'm going hunting." You know, the same word. But in and so when she got him up, and when he started getting all dressed up in his suit and white shirt and tie and everything, she says, "I thought you said you were going hunting." And she said, he said, "No, I told you I was going to get married." And then she started crying, you know, because we got married through a justice of the peace. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was going to ask you to describe
that. Yeah, we just went downtown with the best man and my girlfriend, the same girlfriend, and my brother and his girlfriend and her mother tagged along, my brother's mother-in-law. And it was just them. And I got married in a suit, and, you know. It was real nice, sort of a cream-colored suit with a white blouse, and I had maybe blue accessory. In those days, you wore gloves, white gloves, and I had my big orchid, and it looked out real nice. And then from there, we went to my house to get my suitcase, and to his house to get his suitcase, and his mother was just crying all the time, because she's a very religious woman, and she didn't think we were married. Mm-hmm. You know, she says, "You didn't get married by the Catholic Church, and you're not married," you know, to her. That's the way she felt. So we got our suitcase and went to San Francisco for our honeymoon for a week. And we came back to our work. Back to work.
How soon before you got married did you decide to do it?
To get married?
Uh-huh.
You mean how soon after we...
What made you finally decide to get married?
Oh, we knew we were going to get married all along. But... I don't know, we were just having such a good time, you know, there toward about the, after 2 years, I was getting kind of worried, and then I finally had to tell him, I says, "I think I'm going to have to start dating other people." And he said, "How come?" And I says, "I don't think you're really serious about getting married." I says, "And I'm 25, you know, I'm going to be 25 pretty soon." In those days, if you're 25 and I'm married, oh my goodness. And I think we should get started. So then he says, right away he says, "Well, we'll set the date." And that meant I think that was around November, and we got married in January, mm-hmm. January 22nd. In fact, we just celebrated our 32nd anniversary. We were married. So it's not been all sweetness and light, though, I can tell you that. Every marriage has its ups and downs, you know.
Yeah.
But we stuck it out. I mean, nothing serious, but it's just that, you know, after a while, you just, like we say a lot of times with couples nowadays, they don't seem to want to work things out, you know. And with us, in our day, when we got married, we figured we were married, that's it,
mm-hmm.
you know, unless they did something real bad, like start beating up on you or, you know, fooling around and all that. But we're just everyday hassles, you kind of work it out. We're both Scorpio, so you know that's bad. Very, we both are stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
Very determined. Whatever we want. That's how we compromise. Yeah.
Where did you live when you first got married?
His mother owned a duplex, and she rented one of the side of the duplex. We lived beside her for about almost 2 years mm-hmm. before we bought a home of our own. And that I moved further away from my job. I don't have to get a ride with somebody. And I moved back, like, into L.A. You know, whether you know San Pedro Street mm-hmm. or there. And she had a duplex there. And that's where we lived.
You said that it wasn't until she, just before she died, that she really understood how much she appreciated
it. It wasn't, I don't know, I think she was, she'd had so much, such a rough time in her life that I don't think she wasn't willing to accept. She would give, but she wasn't really willing to take anything from anybody. You know, you've known people like that. And when you get real old, that's when you have to really, you have to take from people. You know, you have to take help from people. And with us, we thought it was just normal that she should come over here, you know, and stay with us. And she would just stay a week, and then she'd go back to her house. Mm-hmm. She's a very independent woman.
Did it take her long to finally decide that you were really married and accept that?
I don't know whether she ever did, because I know she would say a lot of times, it would slip out, that she would say, so-and-so, well, they're not married. She said, they're not married by the church. Well, they wouldn't be talking about us, they'd be talking about somebody else. But she was like that, because I know her older son got divorced, and she never did accept the second wife. Never. I mean, the second wife wrote to her and everything, and she told me afterwards that she had written her back and told her that she didn't want her writing her, that she didn't accept her. Mm-hmm. She just was a very strong woman. She had her beliefs, and I think she lost out a lot by being like that. Mm-hmm. She lost her way. She was very religious, you know. She just didn't believe in divorce either. So I don't know whether she accepted us being married or not. But we believe we're married.
Was there ever a question about you continuing to work?
No. We had planned that I don't know, but you know about Scorpios, they like money. And we were save our money, and we were going to buy a house. Yeah, so I worked until I was pregnant with my daughter.
And since you both were working, how were the household chores handled? Who did the work at home?
Well, those days I did it. He just more or less like took care of his car or something like that. In those days, the men were more, they didn't, well, once in a while he would try to cook a meal, you know, because he had been that was his thing in the Army. He had been a master, what do they call it, quartermaster, mm-hmm. where they order all the meals, and he'd gone to cooking school and all that. And he would try a couple of times, you know, but nothing too much. His mother was a big help to me. She would be the type that, in those days we didn't have dryers, and I'd hang the clothes out to dry, you know, and I'd, like the night before, and when I come back from work the next day, she'd have all iron, mm-hmm. you know, and I told her, I'd tell her, I says, you don't have to do that, you know, and she says, well, she says, you're helping my son by working, so I want to help you. Mm-hmm. So that she was a nice person. It's just that she had her little, mm-hmm. stubbornness, you know, mm-hmm. and she'd come, like after I got home from work, she'd knock on the door and come with food, mm-hmm. you know, she'd she'd cook, you know, she says you're tired, and you know, by the time you get home, you're tired and everything. So she was very thoughtful, mm-hmm. and appreciated it, you know. So now I'm kind of paying her back a little bit. She left a son that he never got married, and he was very dependent on her. So now he comes over here for dinner and so often, and I tell him, you know, the pants that you have nowadays, they don't have to be sent to the cleaners. You can wash them where. So I tell him, bring them over here, and I wash them. You know, mm-hmm. I take care of them for him. and jackets, stuff that he can't take ordinary laundry, like he takes his linens and all that stuff, he takes it to the laundry, but you know, like jackets and stuff that you can wash mm-hmm. by hand, I do that for him. So I remember back to how she helped me, you know, mm-hmm. so it all comes back to you, you know, mm-hmm. things that you do for people. So.
When was your daughter born?
Oh, let's see, she was born about, trying to figure, she's 29, you think back? 1952? I can't remember right, but anyway, and it was about almost, she was born almost about, I would say about 2 years after we married.
Was she planned?
No. I don't know, I never thought of it. I just thought, well, whenever I do get pregnant, you know, I'll have a baby, but she wasn't planning. It just happened. It was the only one I ever had. Uh-huh. So, and,
did you use birth control?
Sort of, old wives' tale, kind of douche, you know, something like that, but not real, not like I do now, you know. Then I could have planned it. But I didn't even know I was pregnant, because at that time there was a lot of flu going around, stomach flu. And then my husband got it real bad, and then I got it. But mine never stopped, you know. And it was 24 hours a day, you know, morning, noon, and night, you know. And I'd go to work, like I tell you, and no sooner I got there, I had to run up there and throw up and be throwing up. I had it real bad. And they'd bring me home. They did that about two or three times, and then and the nurse says, you better go see your doctor. And I didn't even have a doctor. So I just went to the nearest one, and he asked me, has your period been late? You know, of course, he, and I said, well, sometimes it's late. I think it's late about 3 weeks, something like that. And sure enough, I was pregnant.
How did you like being pregnant?
Well, aside from the after I got over the morning sickness, I didn't mind it. I mean, it was kind of lonely because I was used to working. Mm-hmm. And at that time, my husband was going to school, electronic school. And he would go to electronic school and then from there go to work. So that meant he left the house around 8 o'clock in the morning and didn't get back till midnight. Mm-hmm. And so I was used to always working. And here I was, we had just moved to our brand new home. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I kept leaving little notes. That's another clue I should have known. Buy some lemons, you know. And 3 days later, another note, buy some more lemons. And I'd be out, because we'd be having a new lawn, and I'd be out there watering our new lawn and eating lemons all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I had that little taste in my mouth that I was trying to get rid of. And my husband says, what's with the lemons all of a sudden? And that's what it was. I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was, and then we had just moved in there. And we moved in, and I think it was in March, and that was the month I got pregnant. Mm-hmm. So you don't know anybody, mm-hmm. and I didn't know the neighborhood. We had just moved. We moved from LA to Gardena. It's about 130th, and brand new house. And even the wood would get me sick. Mm-hmm. You know that smell of the wood, the new carpet. We had bought new wall-to-wall carpet, and we had to cancel a newspaper. Everything was bothering me. But after I got over that, I didn't mind it at all.
How long did you work after you found out you were pregnant? Did you quit right away?
Yeah, I almost had to quit because then I went on sick leave, maternity leave. And they give you a year. And, but I never went back because, you know, I didn't have a mother or anybody to take care of. Ellen is her name, Ellen. And so I just never even thought of going back to work. I just called in and terminated. And that was the end of that.
How did life change for you after she came, aside from the fact that you weren't working for the first time in 10 years?
Well, he and I were used to always going places and, you know. And that, we had to start staying home on weekends, you know, not going out. I remember she was born Christmas, 24th of December. And I remember for New Year's, all our friends came to have a drink with us. And then they took off and left us there. And, but once you got to be a where we could take her out. You know, we took her where we went with us. And at that time, we used to like to take long rides, you know, go all over. And we still took her. Yeah, she went everywhere where we went, so no problem there. Mm-hmm. But, let's see, I was more or less like on a schedule. I don't know how you girls raised your children, but we used to get up, and then I had a schedule like, you know, you'd change them and feed them, and then after that, I think I gave her a bath, and then she a long nap, and then, you know, just had a tied down. But I was in the same boat as all our women in our trackers, and that was in the 50s, you know. And I think now I look back, I think we were lucky that we got to stay home with our kids. There was no pressure on us to go work or anything like that. But I went back to work when she was 17 months old. And the way we worked it was, I worked days and he worked nights. And there was just that little period in between, about 2 hours, that he had to take her to this girlfriend of mine, and she took care of him. And then her husband would bring her. When I got home, he'd bring her over. So it wasn't two. There was always one parent taking care of her. And I think it was about 9 months that I worked at Northrop. And then I had a surgery. I had a tumor, an ovarian tumor. And we got a big scare out of that because it might have been malignant. You know, the doctor said it's soft, and usually soft tumors are malignant, and they were really scared, you know. And what worried me was that I didn't have nobody to leave my daughter with in case anything happened to him. And his mother was pretty old by then, you know, so I was lucky that it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was just, I don't know if you heard of a cyst, a big cyst with a lot of liquid in it. Mm-hmm. And before that I had been, I'd gotten a stomach, you know, looked like I was pregnant again. And so I went on a diet, exercise. I just did everything. And, you know, still there. You could feel it like you pinch, and like when I'm fat, you pinch fat and it's, a, you know, you pinch it. Well, this, you pinch it, it's like you pinch here, the skin, and underneath there was something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so my husband says, you better go see the doctor. He says, that's not right, you know. So I did. He said, well, how come you didn't come any sooner, you know? He says, you look like you're 5 months pregnant. And it was that tumor. And so when I woke up from that surgery, I was flat as a board. See, I'd been exercising and I'd been dieting. So I had really dieted everywhere else but there, you know. So I asked the doctor, I said, would that have been fatal? And he said, yes, because it would have pushed you into your organs, your heart and all that, you know. So I was lucky that time. And I think that's why maybe I didn't have any more children after that. Mm. You know, my chances of having it.
How long were you out of work?
After that, I didn't go back to work till she started school. Mm. And she started school. Well, seeing that she was a December child, after, you know, they don't accept you. So what we did, we put her in a Christian school. And they used to take her, pick her up, I think, at 8 o'clock, and then bring her back till 3:30. So just about the same time that, so what we did there, I went back to work to Douglas, and my husband would see her off on the bus, and my neighbor would be there when the bus stopped, and she'd stay there maybe half hour with her, and then I'd be home by then. Mm-hmm. So that worked out good. And I worked until they laid me off. They had a big recession. When Eisenhower, do you remember that Eisenhower recession? Mm-hmm. I had a big recession, and they told us, they called us in, and they said, this time you're getting laid off, and we probably won't be called back, so our advice is to look for another job. And don't think you're going to be called back. Mm-hmm. So that was the last time I worked at Douglas.
How long did you work there that
time? Let's see, I'm trying to think back. Because I would go and get laid off and collect and then go back. So I would say maybe four or 5 years and then went back.
Was there, did you ever think about not going back to work at all?
You mean when they would call me, would call me, or what?
Well, no, just in general.
Just to stay home? We bought this house. I thought, this is it. I'm going to stay home and enjoy it. By that time, my daughter was about, when we bought this house, she was about 8. And I stayed home 4 years. Not even that, because she was 8. In fact, she was 11, 3 years. And then what happened? Oh, money comes in again. I bought a new car and a bank account. Yeah. So I said, I'm going to go back to work because I can't see us not having any, you know, any money in the bank. Mm-hmm. So then I went back to work at Honeywell here. And I worked there 17 years. Till right now, retired, took retirement. So.
When your daughter was young, did you do things with the other mothers in the neighborhood that had young children?
We got together. In fact, during those 3 years, I was taking care of another little girl. Her mother was working as a beautician. Mm-hmm. So she had late hours. So what she would do, she'd come over here in the morning, and she would pick my daughter up, and she would take him to school. And then she didn't get out till late, maybe about 6, something like that. And her daughter would come here and stay with us because there would be nobody home. Mm-hmm. And she'd stay here until her mother would come and get her. And, we got to be friends with all the women, you know. And most all the women weren't working in those years.
They were working?
Weren't working. And what we do, just to get away from the monotony of being housewives, about once a month, we'd all get dressed up. And in those days, you know, you dress girl, high heels, and suits, and the whole works. And we'd pick out a real nice restaurant, and we just us women would go.
To dinner?
To dinner. You know, and just spend a nice evening out, to, mm-hmm. you know, once a month. And then it used to be during the week, during the weekends a lot of times, we'd play cards on somebody's house, different houses, you know. They don't do that anymore, you know. Here I've been living 20 years, and to tell you the truth, the people that moved in, I don't really know them that much. Mm-hmm. But when we first all moved here, we were all, like, in the same boat, I guess, and we tried to keep from getting bored and we'd get together. Mm-hmm. And at that time, they had... some of the women were going into bowling. They'd all get together and go bowling, but I couldn't because my husband was working the night shift, and I'd have to be home to see him off. You know, I couldn't go off like they used to go about 1 o'clock, and he left about, he must have left about 1 or 1:30. You know, you're supposed to be a real good wife. I never even thought of, well, I should go play, you know, I'll have to see him off to work. Mm-hmm. So. No, we used to get together quite a bit. And, like, I remember getting all the kids together and taking them to El Camino to learn how to swim mm-hmm. in the morning. And the mothers that could, you know, would volunteer to take them. So, but not anymore. It's all, you know, except for the few old-timers that are still here, you know, that, like, I keep more in contact with these first two women over here. Mm-hmm. Like the one that Terry's going to divorce her, and then the Japanese lady, she's divorcing all by herself. And she used to take my daughter, too, and her daughter to school every day. So we got acquainted that way. And, no, you don't. All the women are working. They're all out of the house.
Different times.
Yeah, everybody's busy with their life. And, but I think I liked it better the other way. But now everybody needs money.